All right, man. Ready to get started? Any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Brian, with Alshon, could you explain the decision not to use the franchise tag?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of, you know, thought out thoroughly, obviously. And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, when you can't come to a common ground with a player and an agent, sometimes it's necessary to kind of test the market to determine that player's value. And that's really where we're at. So he's a good player, and we'll see how it plays out. But I think there's, you know, there's certain instances where testing the market is necessary part of the process.
How active do you expect the back and forth to be with him and Torrey when free agency opens?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, we're constantly having dialogue with him, and that'll continue like it has, you know, pretty much always.
So. Well, how would you describe your situation now with Jay?
You know, he's, you know, Jay's under contract, so, you know, it's fluid. I would describe it as fluid. There's a lot of conversations going on between us and Bus Cook. I think one of the things with Jay is, one of the things I value is his agent, Bus Cook, and, we, you know, we're close. And I think in times like these, that relationship's important because we can be honest and transparent. I think he's one of the top agents out there, and I think that helps in this process.
How would you like to see his status resolved?
Who's?
Jay's.
Jay's? It's fluid. A lot's got to play out. You know, I think in general, guys, just the quarterback situation, and obviously that's a hot topic, and it should be. There's a lot of scenarios right now, and there's a lot of different things that can happen, and it is fluid. And it's fluid throughout this week and as we approach free agency and even after free agency. And it's our responsibility to have a plan in place, which we do, that's flexible and adaptable as the landscape's changing, and that's kind of where we're at.
But when you look at the options that you have, mm-hmm. what is attractive to you?
I guess just the number of different options. You know, there's whether it's trades or free agents or draft or are staying the course with what we had. There's a lot of different options, and honestly, I just have to be flexible because there's some unpredictable things that can happen along the way, and we've kind of gone over every situation, and that's where we're at.
Ryan, is Jay healthy?
He's far along in his rehab, so I wouldn't say he's there yet, but he's definitely ahead of progress. Yeah, he hadn't got to that point yet, but he's ahead of schedule.
Have you been communicating with him, or is everything going through bus?
Both. Mm-hmm.
Have you received any indication that he doesn't want to be a Bear or be a part of what you guys are doing?
No, I have not received that.
Do those options include him staying with the Bears?
Yeah, that's one of the options too. So yeah, Moon, at this point, we pretty much have everything on the table. And I think for us, just to do it the responsible way, that's necessary. So.
Ryan, with the fluidity of Alshon's situation, what's the process of formulating contingency plans at the position just in case he does get away?
Yeah, we do. I mean, our pro, starting with Josh Lucas, Champ Kelly, our pro scouts, they've done a great job of kind of, you know, our free agent board is stacked, and, you know, there's options in free agency, there's options in the draft, and, you know, we got to see how it plays out. You know, we'll know a lot more, you know, in the coming week, you know, a little over a week from now, I'll be able to answer questions a little bit more direct with you guys. But right now that's where it's at. So we have plans in place for every one of these scenarios. I feel extremely prepared for this free agency process that we're about to enter, and it kind of gives me confidence with all these different scenarios.
How do you balance your desire to stay disciplined with the spending with the reality of what the roster is, plus the fact that you have money to spend? How do you balance that?
That's
line?
A good question, man. It's you know, there is a delicate balance. You know, there's a balance between being aggressive and being decisive, but being responsible, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, you can always recover from the player you didn't sign. You can't recover from the player you signed at the wrong price. And I think we got to be conscious of that, you know.
Along those lines, the past with the draft, you talk about sticking to that draft board, you know, no matter what. With free agencies, it's similar in terms of, okay, you might have like a dollar amount assigned to everybody and sticking to that no matter what happens.
Pretty much. You're disciplined with that. And ideally in free agency, we're addressing, you know, most of our needs to allow the draft to be best player available, which is, you know, increases your odds. But you know, between Joey Lane and myself, you know, we have kind of parameters set up for each guy, kind of what we expect it's going to get to, and we have to know when we're going north of that number and when we might need to back away, which can be hard, being honest, because you're competitive, you know, and you visualize certain guys on your team, but once it goes north of a number, you also got to be responsible and disciplined. And so to answer your question honestly, it can be a challenge.
Is it right. tough to address the receiver position in free agency when your quarterback is in question?
Yeah, that, you know, that comes up. You know, if I'm a free agent, you know, those are questions that I'd want to know. You know, that's it. And so, but I think, you know, I think with a lot of these things, it just comes down to the contract, you know. So,
Ryan, this week affords you the chance to actually sit down with some of the prospects. What are some of the intangibles you and your staff put a value on when you're, you know, finalizing your grades?
Yeah, that part's awesome. So I think, you know, we talk about the value of the combine, and this event's become bigger and bigger. You guys have seen it. It's the medicals that are going on during the day, and then it's the interviews that we're doing at the nighttime. And so for us, you know, those are 15 minutes a piece. That's like speed dating. They're coming in one after another. And for us, our college scouts have done such a great job, Mark Sadowski and the whole college scouting department, of kind of knowing a lot of their backgrounds. So when they get in that room, we're really trying to gauge their football intelligence, which our coaches can do a good job of doing that. So we're looking for, you feel a guy when he comes in the room, does he have that charisma? Does he have confidence? Is he naturally football intelligent? And I know it's only 15 minutes, but we kind of have a plan in place to quickly pull that out. But after this, guys, we're still going to visit their schools. We're still going to have 30 visits to Hallis Hall. So there's still a long process that's got to play out. But this will be the first time, like for a lot of our coaches, to see these guys eye to eye, which is important.
Right. What can you get out of the throwing sessions on Saturday morning?
With the quarterbacks?
Yeah, yeah. What can you guys get out of it?
I mean, you can get a feel for their release and their velocity and those things. But again, overall, Rich, it's not just the quarterback. We got to be careful here. You know, I think you see a lot of mistakes made when you get enamored with these measurables and whatnot. And they're important. It's important to see apples to apples. But it's all on the tape, man. And I think, you know, these guys are working out in their underwear. We just got to be a little bit careful that the weight is more on what we're seeing on tape as a football player.
Ryan, yeah. how do you create expectations for Kevin White?
You know, I don't, you know, he's coming along fast, you know, and I still have a lot of confidence in him. He has a lot of confidence in himself. You know, we're getting daily reports kind of on his progress. So I just want to see steady, consistent progress from him. And I think, you know, right now he's getting his body all in alignment and he's feeling good. And, you know, when I see footage of kind of where he's at now, I get excited. So I just want to just see steady improvement.
But is it hard for you to consider him a potential number one receiver because we just haven't seen enough?
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, the last 2 years we haven't seen a lot. But I think I have confidence in our doctors and his rehab and his work ethic to get to the point he needs to get to.
Ryan, what will be the key points for you to go into the decision whether to use the number three overall pick on a college player to trade that pick?
I think it's really understanding the depth of this draft, you know. So we'll have us, you know, obviously all kinds of scenarios on who's going to potentially be there at that pick, and then also scenarios on, hey, this is you know, maybe this specific draft is deep, and maybe there's a lot of value at a certain section in the draft where if it's advantageous for us to trade back and acquire more picks, then that could be a viable option. So we just have to sort out the depth of the draft.
Are you comfortable with the amount of picks you have right now?
We'd always like more picks, you know, so I think, you know, more picks just increases your odds, and especially, you know, when you're a team that has, you know, needs.
Ryan, from your first 2 years in the GM's chair, are there things you've learned through the free agency process that help you going forward?
I think so. I think, you know, coming from New Orleans, my background had always been more in pro scouting, so I've always been very comfortable in free agency and kind of understanding that, you know, hey, free agency is dangerous. You know, I feel like, you know, you're stepping through kind of like landmines, and you got to be careful you don't step on the wrong one, you know. And a lot of times, sometimes these guys are available for a reason, so you have to sort through that. But I'm comfortable in free agency just because that's more of my background. So
2 weeks from now, what would you classify as a successful, you know, sort of foray through free agency?
I think that, you know, if we look back and we say, you know, we've addressed some of our critical needs and we'll feel, I'll be able to be much more honest with you after that happens, and we can kind of touch on that.
Ryan, what sense do you have from Alshon that he wants to make?
I have a good sense on that. You know, it's just a matter, like all these things, you guys know, these contract negotiations can be complicated, and we're at a point right now where this is kind of where it is. You know, us tagging him 2 years in a row really wasn't an option for us, so we'll see how it plays out right now.
You mentioned the back and forth. Would it be surprising if he doesn't come back and you don't have to match the offer he gets out there?
It's still going to play out. You know, I'll have a lot of conversations with Tori this week, and it's just going to play out, you know. And I hope you guys appreciate, like, I always want to be honest, but we're at such a sensitive time right now, and it's just hard for me to be detailed on a lot of these questions. The two press conferences that are the hardest is this one and the one right before the draft. So I'm trying to work with you all, but I hope you guys appreciate that.
Ryan, you mentioned the depth and value in the draft. They talk about reaching at the quarterback position. Would you reach at the quarterback position, or do you have to get value at number three or wherever you're picking?
I think you got to get value. I think when we talk about reaching at any position, and I've referenced teams I've been a part of before that I feel like maybe we've done that, you know, and I learned from that experience. And You just got to be careful with doing that, because I think what happens with us is you get competitive, and you know you need this position, and it doesn't happen the day of the draft. It happens in the months preceding the draft. You start convincing yourself that you need to push a certain position up the board, And that's when the mistake is made. So we got to be conscious of that at any position, you know. And there's certain positions in this draft that are really strong, you know, and some of those positions fit our needs. And then there's certain positions in this draft that aren't very strong, and we just got to be recognize that.
How much tougher at the quarterback position, where you know it's a position that's become so valuable?
Yeah, that would apply to that too. You know, I mean, you got to get the right guy. You know, and I think you just got to be conscious of kind of where that talent pool is.
How much does win loss weigh into your evaluation of college quarterbacks?
It does, because I think you know, you want to see a guy that's elevated his program, and again, you just reference places you've been. You know, and I know I've talk about this player a lot because he had a big impact on me, but I think about Breeze when he was at Purdue and he elevated that program. I mean, he took him to the Rose Bowl, so that's, I think that means something, you know, and I think that's something that we pay attention to.
Ryan, there's a handful of guys here that skipped bowl games, you know, prospects that skipped bowl games to obviously concentrate on the program. How do you evaluate those guys? What do you want to learn about those guys in a setting like this?
Like on that decision?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk to them about it. I think in fairness to them, you know, there's all of those are, you got to look at them on an individual basis, because sometimes when you dig into it, on the surface, you might ask yourself, okay, why did he do that? And then when you dig into it a little bit deeper, you know, there's some things that might make sense. And so it's a case-by-case basis.
Can you confirm if Kyle Long decided not to have shoulder surgery, and if so, what changed that?
Yeah, so as we went forward with that, it was really getting more opinions on the shoulder. And so, I mean, guys, at this point, you get 3-4 different opinions on the shoulder, and it was determined that the best course of action wasn't a surgery. And really, for us, that's good. You know, we're trying to avoid surgeries if we can. So he's not going to have a shoulder surgery, and he can just focus on his ankle rehab.
What type of culture are you trying to create within the organization?
No, I think, you know, we talk about that all the time, and it's, we talk about, you know, toughness, intelligence, good teammates. And I think if you walk into our building right now, it feels that way. I tell some guys, it almost feels like a college atmosphere because these guys are so tight and so close and all working together, and not a lot of selfish players. So I think the more we can add to that, the better. But I feel really good about that vibe. And I think, you know, I know the last season was a struggle, but I think one of the reasons why when you walk through the halls of Hallis, it felt there was a sense of optimism, because I think people feel the culture is heading in the right direction, and there's a lot of young talent that is going to kind of build our future.
Right. When you look at going back to Hub's question about, you know, quality at certain positions in the draft versus reaching and everything, as you guys come to these conclusions, is there emotion in it? I mean, are there, do these things get emotional in terms of you understand your need, you understand the value of, say, a quarterback position, mm-hmm. and if it doesn't match up, that you've got to sort of either bottle frustration and move elsewhere or figure out, sort of take the emotion out of it?
Yeah, you do, and I think you just got to step back and look at the big picture. And I think right now it's good to have a clear understanding of where free agency is strong and weak and where the draft is strong and weak, and you can balance that out a little bit. So, hey, I know in free agency we might not get this position, but hey, it's really, really deep in the draft. So we're going to take best player available, but I think that we have a good chance of getting this player in the draft because this position is so almost abnormally deep this year, you know.
With Kyle's shoulder, how do you monitor that going forward? How do you make sure it gets right?
Yeah, he's working hard, and there's daily progress on that. So, you know, it wasn't just one or two doctors. It was multiple opinions, and doctors with a lot of conviction on this is the right thing to do. And he's strong. He's kind of a freak genetically, so his shoulder's doing good. So, you know, there's going to be maintenance as far as strengthening and everything, which he's doing. And really, we don't have a lot of concerns with that right now.
With both injuries, when do you expect him ready?
It's fluid, you know, so the shoulder is in pretty good shape. It's really him rehabbing the ankle. And we'll see. You know, one thing that I have learned the last 2 years is to be careful to put timelines on these injuries, because this is so fluid, you know. I mean, look at Rich's hamstrings. I mean, they've been taking forever, so.
Ryan, how do you balance what seems to be the increasing youth of this football team with the need to start to win games now in year 3 of your program?
Yeah, a good question. I think, you know, you got to be careful that there's not a we're looking for set this thing up for long-term success. I mean, you got to be careful not for these quick fixes that sometimes won't work out. You know, you pay an older player a lot of money. Sometimes that doesn't work. We got to be conscious of that. But I also think there's value of sprinkling in some vets with our young team, and there's value with that too. So there's kind of a mixture. But I'm careful of hey, the short-term quick fix a lot of times doesn't work out. So we're more in kind of building this the right way through younger talent.
Right. Based on your experience, are there certain positions that the hit rate is better when you invest highly in free agency versus using a high draft pick on that position?
Yeah, all our analytics kind of will point us to different positions, whether it's in free agency or the draft, and kind of when they're hitting the sweet spot of their career. And so, yeah, we're conscious of that.
Ryan, you mentioned the JV have a solution in place one way or the other before the draft happens?
It really, honestly, there's no dead timeline on right now. So it's so fluid right now. There's so many things. There's so many variables in place. And so it's just kind of letting that all play out. And I think as each day goes by, we gain a little bit more information, and it kind of helps guide us. But right now, like, I really believe, like, I feel so prepared for all the different scenarios that can take place. So it is constantly fluid, and there's no definitive deadline on that right now.
What was your final evaluation?
On Jay? Kind of an incomplete evaluation, really, on a lot of our quarterbacks because of the injuries, you know? And so, it was a little bit of an incomplete evaluation. Yeah.
You talked in January at the end of the season about having the infrastructure in place, the pieces around a young quarterback if you wanted to develop them, whether it's players, coaches. How do you assess what you have in place around a possible young quarterback coming
in? I feel good about, you know, what we've done with our offensive line. You look at the interior offensive line that we have, I think it's set to be one of the better interior groups in the league. And of course, there's more pieces we need to add. That's important. I think you can see the value of building a strong offensive line and what it does for the quarterback, and Dallas is a great example of that. But it's still a work in progress, but I feel like we're a lot better there than we were a couple of years ago. So, but it's a steady improvement.
What about receiver, especially with the Alshon question, and then even, I think you mentioned before, that you like Dowell and Ragone.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Yeah. So receiver, I mean, Alshon's, you know, that's a fluid process as well. But, you know, whatever happens there, we're gonna whether it's Alshon or whatever it is, we're gonna be improving at that position.
Right. So. How does the NFL decision not to allow certain players here at the combine because of past off-field incidents affect your job?
Yeah, that's probably exactly what would happen. That would require just a visit to their school or a 30 visit. So it would just probably, you know, allocate some time to that. But, I get it. But it'll just force us to go out a little bit more on those guys.
Now, what was your overall assessment of Hoyer's season last year? Where is he at in terms of your interest level going forward?
Good. He played well. He's recovering fast from his injury. And I thought he played solid, you know. So, again, he's part of the big equation that we have right now.
Is there a value for you in having a veteran guy, whether, you know, it's Brian or another guy, if you have a young quarterback or an experienced one?
Yeah, I think you want a good mix in that room. I don't think there's any position room that's more important than the quarterback room and who you have in there and how those guys work together. So, like, we do in our minds have an ideal mix of how you want that room to kind of come together.
What do you know about Connor Shaw's rehab?
He's good. He's doing very well. So
he'd be ready to compete if he was part of the equation?
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thank you.